needs relatively little introduction. Here he is, Master of Seven Barrows, Nicky Henderson. How are you feeling with, 10 days or so to go?
I should probably better than you are from where you've been.
I'm fresh as paint. Fresh as paint. The flight from Riyadh landed at 5, got home at 6, had a quick shower, changed, came in here. Look forward to talking to you. Quick change of gear. Talk about National Hunter Horses. So,
well, it must be different.
It's very different. It's very different. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in the programme. But it is a pretty crazy time of year anyway for you, this period leading up to Cheltenham. How different has it been this year with conditions and so forth and all the uncertainties thrown into the mix?
Well, it has been the wettest winter. Ironically, after one of the driest we ever had last year, we actually had problems. You know, the ground was nearly too good most of the time. The places you had to be careful. This one, it's been since November. It has been. We've had nothing. I'd rather sort of said there's only two going reports at the moment. It's either heavy or abandoned.
Yeah.
And you haven't got much else.
Do you let it bother you, or do you just say, I can't control the uncontrollable?
You can't. And actually, I think there's nothing you can do, nothing anybody can do. They did have some all weather jumpers, bumpers the other day. We took one to Newcastle, which was a novelty, certainly. Not that I went, but. And one. But, you know, those sort of things help us a lot. But now you've got to take what comes. It was an enormous, you know, to lose Newbury yesterday was, you know, it wasn't that bad on Friday, but it never stopped raining Friday night, and that was that.
Do you change your training regime at all, particularly with the big horses?
I'm not, you know, one's got to be careful on even on our grass, which we like to use grass as much as possible, and we've got a lot of it, which is lovely. But, you know, it is, even that is now wet. Mm. And one's probably gone using the all weather more than we would, I don't say like to, because it's perfectly good, but, you know, I know what we're doing on grass, and that's what I'd prefer to be on. And then Thursday we were trying to school, excuse me, and we got the first Altior jump five fences, and the snow had come down, and all of it, within 5 minutes, it was balling up in their feet. And so I'd got about six redundant jockeys. Barry had come over from Alan to school. So we had to delay that a day. It gets frustrating, yes, but you've got to keep working around it. They were all worked this week. We took 13 to Kempton on Tuesday, mm-hmm. which was good.
How did that go?
Good. I mean, Barney's great. He does, you know, he obviously makes it quite a lot slower than what they race.
Clark of the course, Barney Clifford. Yeah.
That helped. They all went well. Sort of, we just went 2 miles in threes.
But this is now this is normally the pre-Cheltenham Kempton Gallop is normally quite a big thing for you, isn't it? You normally take some of the bigger names, and you can start to get excited about one or two, or start to think, well, I'm not quite where I want to be. So, give us the inside on the Kempton Gallop.
Well, we were really taking the ones that hadn't run for a period of time.
Yeah.
They hadn't had, Altior didn't need to go because he'd been to Newbury, and those sort of horses, you know, if they've had a run recently, what we were doing is taking the ones that haven't had or did need an away day.
Yeah.
Something just to sharpen them up, and even, you know, just it does that sort of thing for them, the journey, the atmosphere. And I can't say there's a lot of atmosphere at Kempton on a Tuesday morning.
You can make your own atmosphere.
You do, because it's important. And it's fun. I think they enjoy it. And it's not as if we're trying to find anything out. We're just trying to get that one final bit. So those horses didn't do very much yesterday. They'll work again this Tuesday, and that'll be it.
So which ones really pleased you? Coming out of there?
Well, I think Pendant Hills was good. You know, Barry rode quite a few Wrath Hill, and Fuzzy Raffles went well. But I mean, I think he does love that. You know, you're probably taking good ground horses as well. Verdana Blue, she loves it.
Well, she's not going to get a ground, is she?
Well, we'll come on to the ground, I expect, at another stage as far as Cheltenham's concerned. But obviously at the moment it's looking wet. But the forecast, I've spoken to Simon Clace this morning, and he has a better forecast than he had a few days ago. So he's actually hoping that the word good to soft in places might creep into it.
Yes.
I don't say that's going to help Verdana Blue, but she certainly enjoyed Kempton.
And I guess she's got options. You can be patient with her because when the ground does dry up, you've got Aintree and you've got Ayr and you've got the flat as well.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I had the original dream was to try and get into the 2 mile race at Riyadh.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we weren't high enough to get in, which was a pity because that would have suited it down to the ground. So, the prize money was unbelievable.
$2.5 million, you wouldn't have minded that.
Well, it would have been, you know, Michael Table was kindly bought her when she was sold in December. But she's still as good as ever on that surface.
So the first horse you mentioned there out of the Kempton Gallop was Pentland Hills, who's one of five you've still got in the champion hurdle. With his little wind procedure under his belt and with that piece of work, are you now quite hopeful that he can run a big race in the champion hurdle?
But he's run big races all year, to be honest, but well, he's only had two runs. And he's come to the last both times looking the sort of nearly obvious winner. You'd have to say, has he sort of quite gone away from... He didn't go away from them as one expected. And he actually got collared at Haydock. There was no reason for a wind procedure. It was just a Henderson hunch, if you like, that you do... He's never made a noise of any description, but you do have things that we'd sort of call silent noises. There was no evidence of anything, but I'm not clutching at straws, I hope, but it was a reasonable guess. And it's so easy to do. You're only just... It's like tightening a screw, basically. Yeah. Just tightening up the muscle in here so that the palate is stable.
And so where does that now put him in your champion hurdle pecking order? If you were to have your private NJ Henderson leaderboard at the moment, who would be...
Well, you've got to... If you took it on ground and on the assumption that, let's say, it is soft ground, which I suppose we're going to have to... You know, one's always said it's bound to be good to, on the first day, it's going to be good to soft anyway, because even if it was going to be good or quicker, he's going to make it good to soft.
Yeah.
There won't be any necessity for that.
No.
The reason you'd probably go Pentland Hills and Epitant in that, and Call Me Lord, he handles soft ground very well, whereas Verdana Blue and Fuzzy Raffles probably don't like it that way. So, you know, you'd probably say 3 and 2 like that, that Verdana and Fuzzy Raffles are going to be at a certain disadvantage.
So to what extent should we take the Christmas hurdle on trust as the strongest piece of hurdling form this season? And if that's the case, shouldn't Epitant just be a really short price favourite?
Yeah. I think a lot of people will tell you, well, it's a flat, fast track, so was Newbury. She's visibly very impressive, and it was a very big step up because it was JP's idea that we've gone from an intermediate handicap at Newbury
to a grade one. And you bolted up.
Which was quite a brave shout. It was JP's. And yes, visibly she's very impressive, and it's a good performance. I agree it's around Kempton. I suppose a worry would be that I thought, if we were to, this time last year, I thought she was one of our naps of the meeting for the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. And she didn't show up. But, I mean, I think you can excuse her that. We'd struggled quite considerably with the vaccination system that had come in.
Because of the flu jabs.
The flu jabs that we had to have at a very inconvenient time. And quite a few horses did suffer from it.
Yeah.
And it was easy to tell afterwards which they were. And a couple of them, it was easy to tell before the race, they hadn't recovered. So they're not recovered, but it does take a fair bit out of them.
And you got on record as saying she's coughed a bit this week. How worried are you really about it?
Well, she hasn't coughed for 3 days now. As soon as I said that, and again, you understand why we have to.
Yeah. Well, I'll come to that in a minute, but yeah.
Yeah. And since actually we've announced that she had been giving a few coughs for no reason. We can't see any reason why she should cough. Nobody else, we haven't got any horses, touch wood.
You won't find anything real in here.
She's not caught anything off anybody because she hasn't got. She's very well in herself.
Yeah.
Sophie Candy rides her every day. She's actually riding her as we speak. Says she hasn't coughed for 3 days. So we're she's doing what I want to do with her.
So she's bright-eyed, good in the coat, great, nothing on the blood test.
No, nothing.
No high white cell count or anything like that.
And her track wash is perfectly clean. So we've just got to, as I say, she hasn't coughed for 3 days now. So as long as she doesn't cough this morning, I can get you a hotline, the sort of coughometer, as I think it's becoming.
Well, I'm afraid this pre-Cheltenham thing has got that absurd that we are likely to need coughometers at some point. Now, you mentioned the fact you had to tell everyone that she was coughing. So from your point of view now, what do you think when a horse has a minor issue in terms of communications to the media? Because we spoke about it quite extensively at Kempton a few weeks ago, and you got quite hot under the collar.
Well, you know, obviously I totally appreciate that one's got to keep everybody informed. We've got to be completely transparent about these things. And the trouble is with the Altior, when he had this abscess in his wither, unfortunately, there was, before one could say anything or tell, even, you know, it's these things flare up pretty quickly. And unfortunately, it seemed to escape before I'd said anything to the owner or anybody. So there was a gap. But what I had done, as you know, is that I'd spoken to the BHA just to say, look, this is the situation. We've got a better system of announcing these things. We now do it. As you probably know, my social media skills are zero. Hate things. But I now apparently have a Twitter. But I don't write it. I mean, it's...
Yeah, so Unibet will be running your Twitter.
No, but they're not. This has nothing to do with Unibet at all now. We talk to the Press Association, and it goes out on my Twitter account.
On your Twitter account.
It's not it's nothing to do with Unibet. So we do certain things through them, but on when these rather delicate subjects, there is, as I say, we have a different way of announcing these things.
It's not straightforward for a trainer, is it? Because forever and ever, trainers have employed X many staff, and leaks will always get out of a yard as to horses' well-being, and that can affect markets. How do you actually go about stopping that happening? Do you just have to try and trust your staff and tell them?
You do,
and
I trust them implicitly. And we do once a year just remind them, I think, as one probably should, that, you know, this is inside information that actually it's technically illegal to use inside information, isn't it? And whether it's on the stock exchange or in a racing stable, it's all the same. The rules are the same.
Are you pretty happy now that you've got everything separated so that you can carry on your association with Unibet and not be in any way coming under fire or under censure for it?
I'm sure. You know, we all discussed it with John O'Spence, and we've got a good system going, and I hope it's proved this week that exactly how we did it, and hopefully it will turn out that it was pretty. Again, it just shows it. All of a sudden, she's no longer favourite for the champion hurdle because she's given 10 coughs. Is that right?
But then on the basis of what you've just told me, I'd be quite tempted to go and back her again. So, yeah, but everyone's able to make their own judgement. I kind of agree with Chris Cook's piece in The Guardian this week where he said you can't have too much information because we're all punters. We can just judge for ourselves whether we want to take your word for it or not.
But I don't read my Twitter or the replies.
Yeah.
Because I can't. But actually, Sophie said that she'd read it, and within 10 minutes, there's 100 replies, 95 saying, well done, great, hope she's okay, all positive side, except for 3 or 4 saying, ha ha, we know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get the price out so you can get more money on. Well, you know, you can't win, can you?
Well, I suppose you never believe your negative or positive publicity on social media. I suppose that's the moral of that
story.
Well,
just don't read it. It's the simple things.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't necessarily advocate that, but yes, I get what you're saying. This all came about because of one horse, really, and that horse is Altior. How happy are you now that you're on the right track?
With him?
Yeah, with him, the horse.
Him, the horse, great. Nick, I mean, his work yesterday was excellent, like as good as it's been. His schooling on, well, it turned out he did jump five fences in the snow and it was starting to ball up, so we had to postpone it, but and so schooled him again. So he actually had two, but he loves his jumping, so it's good fun for him. He's sharp. His work was very good yesterday. I mean, again, if you watched his work or his schooling, he is still a two-miler. This is going to be a great champion chase. And he has got to be at his absolute maximum to beat the two horses.
Are you someone who plays scenarios of a race like this over and over in your head in idle moments? Not that you have many idle moments, but when you're trying to get to sleep or when you're driving somewhere to the races, do you ever think about how this race might play out, or do you just try and park that for the time being?
I think I park it, and no doubt I'll talk to Nico about it. I think he's the one that's got to see the, you know, he'll have his, he's the one that will be thinking.
See the possibilities.
You know, what'll happen, who'll make it, where the pace will come from, and that. Yeah, I'm sure he's thinking on those lines. I must admit I'm not at the moment. He's happy anywhere in the race, to be honest with you. I think, you know, I hope there'll be a good pace on. The reason I respect Defi de Soleil enormously and the Irish horse.
Chacun pour soi.
Mainly because we know they like soft ground. And we are definitely a better horse on good ground.
Given that Underso was going to run in the race and now he's been retired, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the programme, do you think there's a possibility that Nico will make the running on Altior, given a possible absence of pace?
Well, it's a good point. I mean, is there going to be? We'd have to look at the race and see what else is coming in there that is likely to make. Is there a natural pacemaker?
Not that I can
see.
You haven't got one, have you? You can pop in there.
I don't think supplementing something that can only run for a mile.
You haven't got another entry at all.
No, unfortunately not.
I suppose Dynamite Dollars might be the one. But anyway, yeah, that's a question for another day. Just looking back on the last year or so with the horse, let's face it, he's 20 out of his last 21 races. So nothing really has gone too badly amiss. But if you owned him, would you ever have entertained the idea of running him beyond 2 miles? If he ran in your colours?
I would. I think I would. Nico's actually always said at times he feels if he wants another half a mile, I think three would be stretching it. But Pat and Christopher Pugh, they've been brilliant. We've been through these scenarios before, even do we go stay over hurdles? Because I explained to them, then you can win the champion hurdle if you want to.
Yeah, I tried to persuade you to put him in the champion hurdle.
And luckily, actually, as it turned out, it was Bouvardet that we switched back to hurdles and left Altior to get on with the chasing. But we've had a lot of fun discussing and making decisions and where we're going to go and what we're going to do. And they're very much a part of the, you know, they understand what's happening and appreciate it. And they're great people to deal with. We can have fun doing it.
And has experience told you over the years that you're better off essentially having a bit of give and take with your owners rather than getting cross with your owners when they want to do something, because sometimes it works in your favour. Like you were saying with Epaton winning the Christmas hurdle, you probably wouldn't have run her if the owner hadn't said, give it a go.
But again, JP's somebody who's very involved. He knows and understands and loves his horses. And, you know, he's very much involved. We do talk a lot. And so there's a lot of decisions that we can make between each other, and certainly with Christopher and Pat, that we, you know, discuss these things. We discussed it all summer, and Ascot was the obvious place to go. The timing of the race was right. It was then obvious that Paul was going to go there with Sarnham, so it was going to be a rumble in the Ascot Park. Then the ground was horrific on the day.
But it has been there all year.
It has been all year, unfortunately. You know, I mean, very un-Ascot-like. But it's been that's the winter we've had. Under normal circumstances, one definitely shouldn't have. We should have ducked it. But on the day, the build-up had been so big and the hype of this race that had I just walked into Ascot that morning and said, right, no, we're not going to do this, or after the jockeys...
Yeah, you wouldn't have wanted to look at your Twitter feed after that, would you?
I would have wanted to get off the racecourse pretty quickly, yeah. I would imagine. So that you couldn't do it. And we paid the consequences. And I think Paul would agree with me. Yeah. They had a bruising race.
But it was kind of great for the game in that moment. Yeah. And even better that your horse has come out and won subsequently and heads to the champion chase. I mean, I don't want to turn this into a stable tour. You've done a million of those this week with the press day. But I was just as I walked in, I caught a piece of footage of Santini on that day, on trials day. And I thought, if this Gold Cup is a war on soft ground, he won't shirk it, will he?
No, he's a battler. He's a big bruiser of a horse too. He's got a lot of quality, but he hasn't a lot of experience, to be honest, because he only had the three chases last year, and one at Sandown, which wasn't awe-inspiring earlier on in the year.
Yeah.
But this was a different ball game. This was in very soft ground, which I don't think he really wants. Taking on a horse that is a very proven, top-class, soft-ground horse.
And just a very good horse, isn't he, yeah. Bristol Domain as well?
And I think, you know, talking to Darrell, because we see lots of him when he's riding Simon and Isaac's horses, that, you know, I think he felt that Bristol Domain was on his top game on the day. So I think it's pretty sound form. The race will bring him on. He's been terrific at home. Again, his work's done. He's schooled on... Well, again, we tried to school Thursday, did on Friday, worked yesterday. No more to do, to be honest with you. He's fit and ready to go.
So you've five champion hurdlers. You've got Santini in the Gold Cup. It's quite interesting to me. You've such a great record with two-mile hurdlers. And, you know, let's be honest, you've got a great record with pretty much all category of horse, but such a good record with the two-milers. You did win your two Gold Cups with Bobsworth and Long Run. You haven't won a Grand National yet of any description apart from the American Grand National. Is all this something to do with the way that you condition and prepare horses more for speed? Or is it because it's just a quirk of fate?
I think it's probably a quirk of fate. I think it's actually got quite a lot to do with when we're buying them, to be honest with you. Now, like... You know, the likes of Altura, we bought them as unbroken three-year-olds. And, I mean, they come from all sorts of sources. I mean, some are coming from France, some are coming from Ireland. And as I say, we like buying stores because it's...
Yeah, but
it's
say...
It's like having a new car.
But say when the Jigginstown team, for example, you can sort of see the type of horse they like. They like a long-distance
proper
chaser.
Proper chasers, yeah.
So are you going for something a little... looks a little bit more like a flat horse, a bit more athletic, a bit...
AP said to me once, years ago, the trouble is your horses aren't as effective on soft ground. I think why Kempton's a very good track for us.
Yeah.
Because it tends to have much better ground than anywhere else. And as AP said, your horses are better on good ground than they are in soft ground. It's only because you buy a type of horse.
Interesting.
And I think everybody does buy a type of horse, as you might say.
So do you think, is that because when you look at them, you're looking for a way they move particularly, something appeals to your eye about their physique and their movement, and that suits it, do you think?
Well, I think the great things, I mean, Minty and I and Highflyer do the, you know, we do all our sales work together, and Minty and I particularly do
this
the
stores. This is David Minton. Yeah.
Do the stores. And he knows what I like. He's probably working ahead of me and sending copious lists back to me to can't see this, can't see that. Don't like it, whatever. But, you know, nine and then...
But he likes what he
knows
what you
what
like
I want.
And you
yeah.
know what you like and yeah. you like what you know.
Yeah. And it's like anybody else. Some people like a horse and somebody else doesn't, and vice versa. So we've been very lucky like that. And I love... You know, we're just getting going with the... Actually, interesting, the first of the four-year-olds from the stores last year ran at Newbury on Friday, and won the bumper first time. And that's actually the first store for four-year-old that we've run.
Was it Luna?
Grand Luna.
Grand Luna.
I mean, she has an Altera. She's actually heading for the Goffs Dogster bumper in a
50
month's
grand
time.
Bumper
so I wanted
back at Newbury.
I wanted to get a prep race into her. I sort of was planning on not getting a £4 penalty, but I've got it.
Oh, well.
You've so well.
You won another race. Yeah. Every race will count in this year's Trainers' Championship because I'm looking at the standings now, and we had Paul Nicholls in this seat last week. There we are, look. 1874 plays 1865. It couldn't be any closer. Oh, this is going to be a good one, isn't it?
Well, it'll be a bit, whichever way it goes, the gap will be phenomenally widened at the end of, on Friday week.
One way or the other.
One way or the other.
Well, you don't know. I mean, it's going to be close, isn't it? It's going to run.
Well, it could be. And, I mean, so could the jockeys, which is great. And I think these things are good for the game. But, I mean, Richard Dickey, you know he is going to go from north to south, east to west to try and...
So with that diversionary tactic there, were you just trying to tell me that you're not bothered about this at the moment?
I think not at the moment because as I say, what happens at Prestbury Park...
Decides all.
Decides everything. And but I can't believe we're going to come... Whatever happens, Paul's got a very, very strong team. Mm. And so do we. We've got a few bits missing. But the novice hurdlers look OK, the novice chasers look OK. There's quite a few that I could... will have good chances in handicaps, plus the obvious, the Santinis and the champion hurdle horses, and Altior.
Yeah, and Altior, he says as an afterthought. And if that doesn't give you an idea as to the strength in depth that Nicky Henderson has for the Cheltenham Festival, nothing will.